Hello and welcome to the CGW podcast. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Computer Gaming World, and with me are an esteemed group of fine young gentlemen who will, now introduce themselves. Also, they're all naked this week. So sorry, was that an overshare?
Dressed over here, Sean Elliott, previews editor for CGW.
And standing in today, I'm Jason Cross from Extreme Tech.
And wearing my Batman underoos, Darren Gladstone.
And on the engineering tip over here, is, as usual, is Mr. Scott Asnault, or if you want to say it correctly, Asnault, right?
I thought it was Asnut.
All right, moving on.
Sorry.
Jason Cross, for those of you who don't know. Oh, boy. It's Scott's mad. Don't piss off the engineer.
Sorry.
Yeah, all of Darren's voice things now after this are going to be like up two octaves because he screwed with the engineer. For those who don't know, Jason Cross is Dr. Tech Medics in CGW. So he's guesting here on the podcast, but actually he's a regular CGW writer.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of. So welcome, Doctor. Okay. We're gathered here today. We all just got back from the Game Developers Conference in San Jose, which is a yearly gathering of game developers, oddly enough. And the press usually crashes this show we did this year. In years past, it was a little more geeky and sort of industry-oriented, and the press was kind of not really part of it. But now it's much more of a...
It's a show.
A show, a schmoozy...
I find it a lot more useful than E3, though.
How come?
Well, but that's not saying a lot, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, they say E3 is supposed to be for the press and whoever, but it's just it's
E3. It's like we've seen it all before we even get there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. E3 is the EB employee, EB clerk convention now.
Yeah.
It's really an excuse for everyone to try to crash into the game industry.
Yeah.
But not that we have a problem with EB employees.
No.
We love you guys.
This is their convention.
So what did we see at GDC this year that was interesting, that we liked?
Well, there was no real big announcement. Like, every year there's one big, huge announcement. There's no big, huge announcement this year. There was just a lot of good little sessions and stuff. And, you know, like, you know, there was no magic revealed in the PlayStation conference. No big announcement on the Revolution in the Nintendo thing.
Right.
There was Will Wright's thing was just like always.
Will Wright being brilliant as usual.
Yeah, just reminding everybody he's smarter than you are. And
you really feel kind of like an orangutan when you're done listening to him.
Yeah, it's terribly entertaining though, isn't it?
He's so good. He even makes PowerPoint fun, which is amazing.
Yeah. I wonder how long it takes him to put those together.
I wish
like an hour.
Do you know if he makes those available? I wish he would.
Yeah, it's so entertaining. Yeah. The Nintendo thing was interesting to me because I actually liked it.
He was a great speaker. Yeah.
He's getting better every year too.
Yeah.
But it did seem like I kept waiting for the Revolution announcement, and then it never came.
Yeah, nothing.
Well, you're just a little biased because you're playing Brain Age all the time now.
Brain Age rules.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm 26 in Brain Age, which is much younger than my real age. So that rocks.
Young is good in Brain Age.
You know what? That was cool. I liked that he talked about that game. I mean, he did exactly what his anecdote was, right? His anecdote was that they had come up with this game concept that was aimed at older people and non-gamers, say.
Right.
And they tried to get this thing into the retailers in Japan and didn't have... and there wasn't much enthusiasm for it because it just sounded boring.
Right. So they kind of seeded it, like made everybody play it, bring it home and give it to your families and force the sales guys to play it before they would talk sales and stuff, you know.
And sure enough, everybody dug it.
Right.
How tough is it to make a game like that for the PC, though? I mean, like, you see all these cool innovations. Nintendo comes up with like these cool innovations, and I just say to myself every time, why don't we see more of those?
But on the PC, that thing would be retarded, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm not saying Brain Age per se.
There's plenty of stuff like that. I mean, like, if you look at the independent games that were at GDC.
Absolutely.
I
want to see
more
of them.
Actually probably some more creative stuff on display.
The thing about Brain Age
is, I agree. There's a lot more. I just want to see more of it.
It's like something to do just when you're messing around waiting for, you know...
I guess it's just like it just seems like Brain Age is more mainstream, and like everyone's kind of accepting it because it's a portable console or something. I just wish that more of the indie games got the props they deserve.
Yeah. Well, other than Brain Age, Did anyone see anything they liked at GDC?
Well, it was good to see AGO's physics cards actually implemented in some degree.
Yeah, those were actually pretty cool. Actually, the physics battles that's going on now is going to be ridiculous. This is going to, you know, if you're... It's going to get to be, over the next year or two, that if your game licensed Havoc, then you'll get some acceleration through your graphics card. And if your game licensed physics from AGEA, then you'll get some acceleration from their, you know, their physics card. But, you know, if I'm playing a Havoc game, licensed game, then my AGEA card sits there like a doorstop and vice versa. And man, they just need to standardize this stuff because this is getting to be dumb.
Eternal PC problem.
Yeah. Right? But of course, on the other hand, it is cool looking stuff. Like once you have accelerated physics either through the graphics card or the other thing, it's like night and day compared to what you're seeing.
What games are like going to take advantage of that?
Well, Ghost Recon on the PC,
Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter,
is like the first sort of big physics accelerated game.
So what kind of things would you see? Like what would I notice if I put one of these in my PC and I booted up this game?
Like explosions, more like physics everywhere in the world basically.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the gameplay stuff isn't going to be there right away. It's going to be mostly eye candy stuff. So the truck blows up instead of just like and an explosion, some dust and stuff. It's going to have doors and parts flying off and a much more impressive explosion and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Did any of you guys get to see Cell Factor at the show?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just pretty much a one-level demo right now, but for those who remember the Havoc Physics game, PsyOps, that came out on the, PS2 and Xbox and all that stuff? It's kind of like, it's like a first-person version of that, really. And it's just, you can manipulate anything in the environment, but it's taking advantage of the AGEA physics card. It was pretty cool, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have like cloth ripping and like hundreds of barrels and crates and objects and stuff like that you can throw around and throw people into them and get physics kills by taking a beam and throwing it and smashing into a guy. And
Hasn't Half-Life 2 already done this?
Well, it's like, all right, if Half-Life 2 is dialed up to 2, then this is physics dialed up to 10. It's like, imagine just 10 times as many objects, 10 times as much physics fidelity and stuff.
Right, because
the thing is, because Half-Life 2 and all that stuff, they use the Havoc, it's a software renderer, so it's like, it's constrained by the CPU. But if you have a separate card doing it, kind of the same way that in 96, when people started releasing the graphics cards, you see, like, the thing is, there needs to be that, you know, Quake GL or Tomb Raider to really show off what the technology can do.
Yeah. And then the technology, I mean, then the gameplay just has to support the technology, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
totally. I don't know. It's cool to think that, like, this truck will explode and the door will come flying at you, but right now it sounds like it is just eye candy, right?
Yeah. First it's going to be eye candy because, like, if you're a developer, you can't make the rely on everybody having these cards and stuff, so.
Yeah.
It'll get there, though.
So are physics cards the new graphics cards?
Well, that's what AGEA would hope for, right? Because they're the only ones making it. So
so we don't need one yet, right?
You don't need one.
I don't have to upgrade my PC yet.
No.
But I can imagine, like, you know, there's some uses. Like, let's say you're playing Battlefield 2 or Battlefield 3 or whatever, and like they program in grass, so like if you're crawling in the grass, they can't see your movement, but if you're running through it, people can see like the grass parting around you or something. It's little, you know, small things in the environment kind of tip off what you're doing, adds more to the feel.
Do you know what the solution is in the PS3? Because it Epic's Unreal Engine 3 demo, they were showing off some of the basically physics applications that they're using based on the PS3 thing.
That's AGEA as well. It's using
AGEA software renderer, right?
Right.
But
well, it's
no
all hardware. Software. They're just using the cell. It's like a multi-threaded thing on the cell. It's the same thing for the Xbox 360. AGEA's got their software on not just their hardware card, but they've got software solution for the PC and a software solution for the PS3. And everyone's kind of used that for the PS3 because what Sony did is they bought a giant, humongous, expensive license for AGEA's physics for everybody. So everybody gets it. All the PS3 developers get it free.
So that was purely a software solution in that demo?
Yeah.
Because they had like this gravitational field going and they had about 60 objects like going around it and they'd eventually achieve orbit and then you'd hit it with more rockets and basically stuff that would just completely crash your computer on Half-Life 2.
Yeah, and of course, and it's easy to have physics doing all that stuff when you're not running a game as well. You know, you think, wow, the CPU can do all that? Yeah, because the CPU is not running AI, and it's not loading in and unloading stuff from the rest of the level and all that other, you know, good stuff.
So was that the big tech thing?
Tech-wise, I think so. I mean,
yeah, physics seemed to be sort of the big buzz thing.
There was the NVIDIA announcement as well, and then ATI's been talking about incorporating the physics into the Radeon line.
Yeah, really, what it is, the Havoc thing. It's NVIDIA made it sound like it's an NVIDIA thing. It's not really an NVIDIA thing. It's any shader model 3 card will do the Havoc FX thing. NVIDIA's just been working really hard together with Havoc to optimize their drivers and get it working nice with SLI and everything. But
now, what about sound, since we have Dr. Cross here today?
There's not really been any new big announcements or advances.
Didn't Razer make that announcement recently? They're going into the audio board business, which seems totally ridiculous.
Yeah, Razer sent out this press release that they're making like the ultimate gamer sound card that they went from scratch with an unlimited budget, and just like the hyperbole in this press release. And
unlimited budget. I mean, didn't Creative put like what, $50 million into the X-Fi technology?
At least, it's out? You know, whatever. It's just a ridiculous press release in general. And maybe the card will be great. I don't know. It's not coming out till like May or June or so.
I still haven't set up a 5.1 system on my PC. I have one for my TV. Right. I still haven't set one up.
I don't
at
have
home
room
or
for
at
one.
Work,
I don't,
and not right. for lack of. Of free equipment, because we have it. I could if I wanted to.
Right.
Not to brag. It's just the way it is. But I'm kind of not motivated to, and should I be? Like, are there enough games that even matter where 5.1 gaming would matter?
On the PC, it's like virtually everything has 3D sound. And if you have 5.1, you'll get sounds behind you when there's sounds behind you. And
are you guys playing that way? Any of you?
I play on headsets.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, stuff like Oblivion, you know, I mean, you're hearing the wind just, like, rush past you in all angles and going through the trees and stuff. But like Darren says, I play most of the time multiplayer games, and I have TeamSpeak on, and there's no way my girlfriend's going to tolerate hearing those guys yelling throughout the room.
So she has to hear you one way, though.
So she just hears me
talking. Come on, guys!
Right.
Let's hit this.
Yeah, that must be sexy for her to hear you.
Oh, it's good. Like the champion we were listening to this morning from
Oh, my gosh.
Let's hit that mob business. Hard.
So I wonder, you know, that'd be a good statistic to know, like percentage of gamers who are playing on headsets, say, rather than speakers.
I mean, I have no idea. I know. Yeah. I mean, at home, I just don't have room for 5.1 on both my TV and my. I just can't wire this crap into my room. But you know, for headphones, there's some good technology out. Like the X-Fi has a pretty good faux 3D headphone technology.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, you can turn on. I think they call it CMSS 3D or something. But when you turn that on, any game that's in 3D, they kind of fake it with headphone.
Maybe that's what we need more. I mean, realistically, how many gamers can have some loud 5.1 gaming system going, whether they're living with their parents or their wives or whatever?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even just the logistics of like the wiring. I mean, like you move your desk chair around, you trip over one wire, and the whole thing comes tumbling over.
The wires, and that's the problem with the headphones. I just have one of those, you know, like a good $250-$300 set of headphones, and basically, what happens with every set of headphones I ever have is one ear piece goes out, and then eventually the mic starts getting shady, and then the other one goes out. And so, like, this weekend, I just had to ditch the whole thing. It's like,
That's why I only buy the cheap ones, because no matter what, they seem to die, you know?
They do die.
So I spend $30 on a...
I just can't get into... I mean, I see the advantage of TeamSpeak, but... And maybe I've just heard too many of the audio files, like you're passing around this morning... But I just feel like if I get in talking with other gamers in my games, I'm just going to like be annoyed and feel
it's an
like
interesting
I'm 10.
Thing. It's like if it was like an Xbox Live scenario where you just are randomly hopping into a server and you see them flash their TeamSpeak IP and you go in there, that's potentially a really awkward situation. I'm talking about where I have friends, old college friends or dorkier friends I meet on message boards and stuff, and then we'll play regularly all the time, so we like get along, we're used to joking around, but it can be awkward. Once in a while, it's like we'll put an invite up on the CGW or the EGM forums, say, hey, come on, we're gonna play some Battlefield or whatever, come in. And then there's always someone comes in and they're, you know, sipping their Coke real loud and and then they like
or they're like eating the microphone, it's like right on their mouth and they're breathing it.
Yeah,
do you ever hear the sound of like bong gurgles, you know?
No, I don't hear that, but
I've heard that before playing Steel Battalion actually.
There's that guys awesome. That will like there's always that awkward silent type.
Yeah,
you're sitting there talking to them
like Ryan.
Right like Ryan, and you say, hey, what are you doing? And it's just like My grandma's sleeping, so I can't really be loud.
It's time for my bath.
Yeah, I don't see. I guess if I was playing with friends,
right?
Yeah,
and I knew them, I could see talking through a strategy or something. But I don't want to be talking to random.
This is a good connection. Peter Moore was just in the office last week, and you spoke with him.
Yeah,
and it seemed that he was intimating that there would be on Vista some solution to, you know, networking gamers similar to what they have on Xbox Live.
Well, I asked him to straight out, like, why can't we have Xbox Live on the PC? Yeah,
PC Live or whatever.
Yeah, and he wasn't opposed to it. I mean, it sounded like I should.
You know what?
I
keep talking to guys like Chris Donahue over there and stuff, and mm-hmm. and every time you bring it up, they won't say no. They're kind of like winking and nudging and going, "Yeah, it'd be great if something like that was in the works."
Yeah,
you know. So I think it's happening. I think they're working on it. And there's going to be some announcement at E3 or something. I don't know anything. They won't tell me.
Right.
This is
right.
not insider knowledge, but I bet
it would work just the same.
It makes total sense. I was talking to Scott Henson about that at from Microsoft over at GDC, and I was just, you know, taking a step further. Just why not have that Xbox Live cross, Xbox Live PC cross connectivity, so I could like be playing a PC game and talk to a buddy on Xbox Live.
Mm. Right. I mean, there's some security issues to work out with that kind of thing.
Yeah, but at least for the chat stuff.
But even if they couldn't do it cross Xbox PC, just amongst PC
even just
games.
PC, yeah, to be able to do the same thing, like see what your buddies are playing. I mean, I know.
The hard part is you can't force people to use it.
I mean,
like they control the Xbox, so they can say, if you're doing it online, it has to be Xbox Live, and you have to hook into this API so that we can see what you're playing. You can't force EA to do that, so that kind of breaks it. Like, if your friend's playing Battlefield 3, and EA has just chosen not to support the PC Live or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you can't see that he's playing online or invite him or anything, that's kind of dumb.
Well,
but if they give it away and they don't charge it, I don't see why any developer would be opposed to it. It's just good for people. It makes them want to play online, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, it's Xfire is doing the same thing right now for PC gamers. I mean,
right.
I
mean, but again, it's like Jason's saying, though, right?
Yeah.
You've got to willingly,
and there's
voluntarily
so many choices,
load
yeah.
it. And there's so many choices. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I would not be surprised at all if, like, at E3 or something, Microsoft comes out with some announcement that they're doing a live thing on PC, and it's...
Yeah, I'm so jealous of the whole achievements thing. It just seems like a lot of
that
fun.
That has been, like, you know? I don't really care about my achievements. I just play the game, and, oh, my achievement went up, whatever. But there, I've got friends who are just, like, hardcore competitive about what their achievement score is.
Yeah,
that what a brilliant move on Microsoft's part. It costs
really
nothing,
smart.
And yeah.
Maybe we could do that with CGW. Achievements for, like, getting through, you know, Darren's column or that kind of thing.
Surviving an issue.
200 points
that's
per
issue.
It's
funny because OneUp.com actually tried to technically beat him to the punch with the
that's
whole...
Right.
Oh,
that's right. They did that.
...and stuff, but I don't know if it caught on as well. But it... I don't know. The thing with achievements that bugs me so much is that you see people playing, like, they're actually renting and getting games just as sources for these points.
Yeah.
And they're playing modes that where it's painful. Like, Shu was saying, you know, he's playing such and such game on the extreme difficulty, his first round through. And this is the EIC of Electronic Gaming Monthly I'm talking about. And it's like, why are you doing that? What do you get with these points? You know, are they going to send you some free games or something? And it's like, no, it's just...
Just bragging,
bragging
rights.
And even then,
but hey, if it's that much fun for you to have that bragging rights, then go ahead and play on extreme difficulty.
It is kind of like our one-up points. Like, what are those good for?
Right.
Like, I've got a lot of points now from just doing more blogging, whatever, and I was like, cool, now I've got, whatever, 1,000 points, mm-hmm. but
so
what?
You can win an autograph of Jeff Green.
Oh, shit. Great. Sorry, I cussed.
So, yeah, again, it's all on the PC side, it's all fragmented. You know, you'll see it sporadically, like in a game like Battlefield, where it's tracking all that information, and you can go to a certain site and see it. Every award, every medal and ribbon you've unlocked, there's actually far more achievements in that game than there would be in any, technically, in any 360 game. But it's like you can't compare that to someone's status in, you know, Age of Empires or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Would it be useful?
No.
Oh,
nah. But that's
not
the point.
It's useful.
Right?
Yeah, it's just it's just what people do.
I guess if we were talking about usefulness, we'd all have different jobs, probably. Not that this isn't important.
It's just a matter of, is it fun for you or not? And some people really, really get into it.
Yeah, fun's overrated. Just ask Ryan.
No.
Oh, come on. He's
I'm
not in the room.
I'm going to keep dissing him since he's not here.
Until he arrives.
He didn't talk last week, and now he's not here. He hid when it was time to come down here to do the podcast.
Actually, he is here right now in the room. He still refused to say anything.
Are we doing on time? Is that 20 minutes we're at? Wow, that's a long time of talking. So I want to let's segue into our regular what you playing, Willis feature. Is anybody playing anything new or different these days on their PC?
I'm playing Oblivion, but not on the PC. I got the 360 version because my girlfriend wanted to play it on the TV. Uh-huh. So, it's the same game, right? So,
Girlfriends like the TV, though, better.
It seems more approachable.
She's actually a big PC fan, and she's, you know, a Civ 4 addict and all that stuff. But this list lets one of us use the PC while the other person uses the TV to play that stuff, mm-hmm. since it's not multiplayer.
Interestingly enough, we still don't have any copies of Oblivion on the PC.
Actually,
even though we called out last week for Pete to send us some, we still don't have any.
This just in over AIM.
Oh.
Did you get your copies today? Just checked your tracking number, and it shows it was delivered this morning.
Really? That comes from Bethesda?
Check the mailroom.
Oh, I'm so sorry, nice. Pete.
Pete, we love you. We're going to check the mailroom.
Thanks for sending our copies of Oblivion. I knew you would.
Switch off Oblivion to some of the other fine games that you're playing. I know you got a Bomb Force. I actually gave into the dark side on Oblivion. There's an exploit for all you out there who like to exploit.
Oh, right.
Oh, no.
Guy in Talos District of Imperial City named Dorian. You go into his house, you kill him behind closed doors, and basically he's an infinite gold farm. All you do is keep clicking on his gold, and it will keep giving you gold. So I took like 100,000 off him and then left him.
Doesn't that kind of spoil the game for you?
I know. No, it does.
A lot of people are saying that. But it's not like having God mode. It's all leveled so that I'm not able to go buy, you know, weapons that are going to be end-of-the-game ones. It's only going to give me access to a few very expensive weapons.
So you have to be minimum level to...
Yeah.
Okay.
So if, you know, I'm level 15 or whatever, I'll be able to get a few pieces of armor for that. But that's it, though. I mean, and even you know, buying... You can't buy training past a certain point. So really, it just gave me... It got me out of the situation where I was looking at two rare pieces of armor and had to like flip a coin on which one I wanted, and I got them both.
So you cheated.
I exploited.
That's a cheat.
It's in the game. It's a feature.
It's a feature.
I didn't put codes in. I didn't open the console.
Uh-huh. There's no hot coffee, Oblivion.
I just killed that dude, and he just happened
so
to have
we know.
A whole lot of money on him.
Well, I played all weekend. I played something that I was anticipating hating. In fact, I actually installed it just so I could make fun of it. And then it turned out the joke was on me because I kind of liked it. And it was The Godfather.
Sleeping. You sleep with the fish now, Jeff.
Yeah. You know, it's not great. But, didn't we all think it was going to suck? It just had the makings of just a completely bad idea to me.
Right.
Why would you make a game out of this movie?
Well, it just looks like a, you know, generic Grand Theft Auto with features stolen.
Yeah, didn't they make The Godfather and call it Mafia?
That's exactly what I was thinking as I was playing it.
And yes, it's completely a GTA ripoff, right down to, you know, getting the missions, the freeform city.
And the other stuff that's supposed to be unique to it is stolen, too. Like, say, the coercion system is right off of the Punisher game that was on Xbox and PS2, where it's context-based. You take someone and put their head in the fryer and
I never played that.
So basically, all of the features that they're listing as being, you know, the unique things that make this game all come from somewhere else, from a game in the past, you know, 4 years.
Right. Maybe I liked it only because... It didn't suck as bad as I thought it would. You know, my expectations were so low. And
did you buy it? That's a key thing. Did you pay money for it?
Hell no.
Okay, because I was saying maybe it could be at that point. Some people get in that situation where it's like, I just spent $50 on this.
It must be good.
If I don't like it, yeah.
Right.
Make yourself like
had it. I paid for this? Yeah, I don't know.
So how much did they put into this? I mean, I forget. I know they spent some exorbitant amount of money to put this game together. Was it like $40 million or something?
The license was expensive to begin with, yeah.
And I'll tell you, some of the voices and some of the physical characteristics, like the Abe Vigoda character, are amazing. It looks just like Abe Vigoda, if that matters to you. You want out of your gaming is a realistic Abe Vigoda.
As a big fish fan, I had to give respect.
And the James Caan character, but the Michael Corleone character. I mean, I know that they had problems with the contract with Al Pacino, so he ended up not doing the voice. But now I'm wondering if they like had to like change his appearance, because it doesn't look anything like Al Pacino at all. It's like some random dude. Huh. And, you know, he's kind of the main character, right?
I bet that is, because like using a likeness has to be licensed.
That's true.
The famous actors and stuff. So if he wouldn't do the voice, I bet he wouldn't.
Right.
On his likeness or whatever.
So that sucks. But I'll tell you what I did like. I like that there's this kind of sort of clever Rosencrantz and Guildenstern theme running through it in which, you know, you're the guy who, you know, everything that happened off stage in the movie is what you're doing in the Godfather game.
Cleaning up the horse head from the
right. Yeah. So you're getting the horse's head. You're the guy who puts the gun in the bathroom for Michael Corleone to knock off. Who is it? Salazzo? I forget.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, so you're, you know, all those things that you wondered how they happened in The Godfather, you're that guy. So that was kind of a clever conceit. But yeah, now that you have me wondering if I disliked it because it was free.
Right.
Maybe it's not so good.
Well, they did lower the price by $40. So I mean, maybe it's $40 worth of fun, but it's still, it's, I don't know. It didn't bring enough originality to it. I mean, it was fun for what it was, but
without GTA, there's no Godfather.
Right.
It's a thing.
Right.
They completely got it from that game. Yeah. Anything else? So Oblivion, we talked about last week. We're still playing it this week.
We've been playing that for a month.
I don't. We've been playing that so for many, 4 months.
So many hours here, too.
Yeah. Hmm? The mods are starting to appear for the PC version. A little tweaks here and there, but there's some cool stuff.
So are we already seeing the game of the year? Not that we pass out that award anymore.
You guys still need to play it, but I think we've seen a definite contender. I mean, definitely. Like,
it's
you
pretty
can't
great.
Have a discussion without
it's got
bringing
it's
it up.
It's got so many, like, anytime they try and do these big expansive worlds, they always have all these little flaws, like all these, you know, this thing's broken or that thing's buggy or the AI doesn't do this or something. But you can't stop playing it. It's it's completely absorbing.
What's amazing to me is that the older Elder Scrolls games. Arena, Daggerfall, and Morrowind. Morrowind was a little more mainstream, but Daggerfall and Arena were hardcore RPG games that only real RPG geeks would play. But Oblivion is having this real mass, it's kind of the game that all gamers want to play, regardless of genre, regardless of platform. It's just kind of neat the way Bethesda sort of has come around into the mainstream.
Kind of like how basically how KOTOR was kind of like a really hardcore RPG just dressed up differently.
Yeah. But like, I wonder how it is that Oblivion achieved this, you know?
Timing is
pretty
key.
Graphics.
The 360 thing is helping a lot. I mean, people that got that system are waiting to see something that justifies what it can do, and this is definitely one of those games.
So a lot of it's eye candy, maybe.
Yeah.
Look, same thing with Ghost Recon. It's, you know, top-selling game for that. And, I mean, it's been a popular series, but traditionally it's, I mean, not that popular. It's not like, oh, there's a new Ghost Recon, let's get the pre-order out, you know. So I think a lot of it's just, you know, fortuitous timing like that. But then also is that a lot of people, I think, like me, I mean, speaking for myself, like, we're interested in all the RPG like things that are going on in these games, but we want the action component too to keep us engaged, and that's definitely there. And the people are, the word of mouth is spreading really well on that. And it's one of those games too.
Yeah, the actual combat and stuff is a lot more actiony, and it's a lot more fun. I mean, it's
no die rolling, thank God.
Yeah, and it's not just like you click into it. It's, you know, you feel like you're hitting the buttons and swinging the swords and shooting your spells, and it's a little more shooter like in that kind of feel to it. So I think people are digging that.
I think also, like, when Grand Theft Auto 3 first came out, and it was sort of a game of anecdotes where everyone wanted to tell you about this happened or this, did you try this? And it's definitely a game like that where, you know, on message boards and stuff, you're seeing someone just coming out and saying, hey, this happened today. This was really interesting.
You know, that's a good point, is that, you know, Grand Theft Auto wasn't the first sort of open world simulation-y game by a long stretch, but it really made it popular in between the time of Morrowind and Oblivion. So the fact that it's one of those kind of games that now is kind of a popular idea, maybe that's part of it too.
It was the whole beating up hookers thing that gave GTA the edge.
I haven't found a hooker to beat up in Oblivion yet.
That's the sign of a truly good game.
Damn, yeah.
That's what I like to tell all parents.
There is one. Actually, yeah, there is one.
Oh, okay. Yeah good.
I know where she's at, man.
I know where she works.
Because really, that's what we want as gamers. The ability to beat up hookers.
We don't have issues to work out, no.
Yeah, why is it that the beating up hooker thing became so attached to GTA? I mean, you could beat up anyone in that game.
Right.
I mean, the cop, beating up cops got some...
Because they showed it on, like, TV or whatever. And
but it's just, it's always
said,
that
this game
that
is making people into hooker killers.
Well, it was the fact that, you know, you could have sex with them and then beat them up. Wasn't that it? Wasn't that the
issue?
Well,
not sex by Bill Clinton terms, but...
No.
You could have bouncing a car with them is what you could have.
Right. Woohoo in the Sims.
For those who can't see this,
you
Scott
can woohoo
actually,
them.
You can only have, in San Andreas, you can only have...
We're losing the engineer over here. The engineer shaking his head.
Genuine lovers.
You guys are so lucky I'm not on mic.
We're sending this whole podcast to Congressman Yee. as, he could just present it to Congress as evidence of why all games should be banned.
That's right. Games are evil.
And why we why we're all going to hell. Okay, so
What else are we playing? Nothing?
This past week, I've been like just I've been so busy with GDC, I didn't get a chance to play a whole lot. But yeah. Not that I think any of you would, but do not see Stay Alive. Horrible, horrible, horrible movie.
I never even heard of it.
Only see it if you're drunk. That's the only way I can recommend viewing that film.
Especially if you're under 18. What is that movie?
It's a video game that kills people.
It's The Ring, but a video game.
Exactly.
Okay.
They stole every lame horror convention from every horror movie you've ever seen, and they slammed it into one game, into one movie.
It's like what we're saying, Nightmare on Elm Street meets video game too. It's like if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Right. So what they should rent instead is Existenz.
Oh yeah, that was pretty
crazy.
David
Cronenberg movie.
That was a good movie.
If we had the budget, what I'd like to do is make like a parody of the Stay Alive though, because I mean the whole point, since the point is that if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Right, you're saying this.
Of course, in games we die for all these ridiculous and arbitrary reasons. So it's like, you know, what if the dude's playing GTA and he stepped in a puddle and died or something, or like you're waiting for a plane on the runway in Battlefield and it spawned on you and blew you up. You know, like some good stuff in there.
That's quality material.
Yeah. That'd be a pretty hardcore game, huh? Somebody's got to work on that. You die in the game.
You die in real life. Imagine all the bug testers in that game.
Does it work the other way too? Like if you get rich in the game, you get rich in real life. And if you get superpowers in the game,
wait for the sequel, man.
All right, so that's Darren's must to avoid.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about that other one about the game tester?
Oh, Mama's Boy?
Yeah. I hear that.
Oh, Grandma's Boy. Whatever.
I hear that's god awful.
That was equally horrible.
You saw that?
No. I they sent me the videotape.
Okay.
And I couldn't actually bring myself to like choke down the vomit before watching that thing. So I handed it off to G. Ford, who actually apparently watched it on this past weekend. No big shock how much it sucked.
What we need is a movie where like the gamer is George Clooney. You know,
like, yeah,
you know, not where it's like, who was in Mama's Boy? Who was that? Or
like one of the C-list actors that it was attached to, like Adam Sandler's films.
Why are we always portrayed as geeks? We're not.
Yeah,
we're handsome.
We're dashing, even I'd say. Dare say?
That's right.
We're athletic.
I don't know. Darren admitted to having seen both of those movies.
No. I saw one. I only saw Stay Alive in the context knowing it was going to be stupid.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you still want your time back, right?
No. Actually, I enjoy it. It was a very communal experience.
Oh.
Okay, I think we're done here.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're done here.
We were done here 20 minutes
ago. If we haven't driven you away, we will be back next week. And we thank you for listening. Ta-ta.
Over and out.